Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everybody. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and today I am with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is...
Hello, I'm Bridget LaVisca, an owner-operator at Sundial Coffee and Tea.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today and also hosting inside of your beautiful cafe.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this in a second, too, but you have amazing artwork all over the cafe and all local, too, right?
Yes. Yep.
Perfect. But before we get it too far into it, since it is 10 a.m. and we are visiting a cafe, let's talk a little bit more about your coffee.
Awesome. Yeah. So originally, when we first opened Sundial, we were really blessed with a company called Kingdom Growers. Mm. They were a mission-minded coffee shop where all of the coffee beans that were sold through Kingdom Growers came from fields that had been planted by locals along with the help of missionaries teaching them the process and teaching them the business side of it. Unfortunately, 3 years in, Kingdom Growers went out of business. So sadly, we started researching other mission-minded coffee roasters. We tried some locally. However, in our local coffee market, they just weren't able to keep up with the demand of the amount of beans that we needed. So we found a fantastic coffee roaster in Brooklyn, New York, actually, called Stone Street Coffee Roasters. So they ship our coffee in fresh as soon as it's roasted. And we use their perfect espresso for all of our espresso drinks. We use their house roast, which is a medium blend of coffee for our drip. And then we also use their cold brew signature coarse grind that they actually grind for us perfectly to be able to brew cold brew here in-house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is there a different type of coffee used for cold brew, or is it just the grinding process that's primarily different?
I mean, you can use any coffee for cold brew that you really like. This was one that they specifically like. It's a dark roast blend that they put together that they thought would taste best as cold brew. And then and then obviously they just grind it so that it's perfect for the brewing process through the humongous 5 gallon bucket with the huge pillowcase sized filter that we can brew that in overnight. So it's really great.
So the Chris question is, I don't really drink coffee. I drink tea.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, what is your favorite tea that you guys have here?
So 100%. I mean, I love several of our teas, but if I had to pick a favorite, I would say it's our matcha. We use a pure, organic, beautifully well-grown matcha. Green tea powder is what matcha is. They just take some specially grown green tea leaves. It's dried and powdered. So when you drink matcha, you're actually ingesting the green tea. You're not just steeping it and then drinking the remnants. Okay. You're actually ingesting the tea. So we found down in Wilmington, they have Coffee Fest every year.
Right.
So I went to it as a coffee shop owner looking to see like who's new and what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Aki and her husband from Arteo. And they are a small business up in Raleigh. And so they specialize in all kinds of Japanese tea, specifically matcha, but also several other different types of Japanese tea. But what's really cool is Aki is actually from the region in Japan where her family grew matcha. And that's where she and her husband met. They then moved back to the States and now have opened up their own tea distributions. So I'm really fortunate that they're just 2 hours up the road. And so a lot of places when you go for matcha, they might have it blended with powdered milk or sugar or other things to make it taste good.
Yeah.
Because as Americans, and most of us don't like this like strong, earthy, bitter tea, but it's kind of just like coffee or wine or even whiskey. Like when you start to really appreciate matcha, you can start tasting the goodness that's in it and how good it is for you. So super blessed to have Aki, and she just will pick up the phone and answer questions that I have. And, you know, they also have beautiful pottery that you hand, because you hand whisk matcha when you make it. So they supply us with all those beautiful things as well.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're done talking for coffee right now.
Okay.
tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm from Indiana. met my husband there as a teenager, and we've been together ever since. So we're about to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we have two children. Sam is 23, and he's a Marine in the military. And our daughter, Abby, is 21, and she recently graduated from UNC and is now working at Duke in research.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So they're both doing great, self-supporting. Fantastic. Right. The empty nest is not so bad.
Right.
But I will say that they honestly were my life career. I homeschooled them from the time they were 5 and 6 years old until all the way through high school. So that is kind of what got me into coffee, because they grew up and I didn't have a career anymore that needed, you know, full-time homeschool.
Yeah.
So I started just looking for a part-time job. I'm super extroverted and I love coffee. And I thought, hey, being a barista would be fun. So I found a coffee shop, a little small coffee shop up in Holly Ridge, and applied and got a job at minimum wage and was so excited and instantly loved connecting with people, learning about coffee, mixing flavors. Didn't know anything yet about matcha. My friends at Arteo taught me everything I know now. Yeah. But anyway, so I loved it. And within 6 months, the owner of that coffee shop was ready to sell. And here I was, just a brand new barista and being asked if I wanted to buy a coffee shop. But my husband does have some business background. And so, had a full-time job. He had always supported us. So I was really blessed with that. And so we went ahead and bought the coffee shop. And then he helped me understand like how to do finances and and how to do taxes and payroll and all the things that I literally was not gifted in. But I was really good up front with the coffee and the tea and just, you know, making relationships with customers. Yeah. So we were kind of like set up to be able to work well together. And so that's kind of how we got here. I bought that coffee shop in 2019, rebranded. It was Four Seas Java when I started working there. Rebranded to make it Sundial. And kind of remodeled, took about a month, didn't do a whole lot, but enough to make it our own. And then reopened in March of 2019 at Sundial Coffee and Tea. So we were in that location for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And then when this little shopping center was being built, we were able to get in on an original lease here.
Oh, wow.
And so we've been here 2 years now.
Nice.
That's fantastic. So where did the name Sundial come from?
That's a good question. So because my husband and I we're kind of moving into that empty nest season. We were kind of seeing like, we need to start thinking about like us again. And so Sundial actually is a resort in Sanibel Island, Florida, where we honeymooned. It was called Sundial Resort. And it was named after the Sundial seashell. It's these little seashells that are very popular. They're somewhat abundant, they say, down in Sanibel. Right. So we spent our whole honeymoon trying to find these Sundial seashells. And so when we were just running around names, like that's just always been a happy memory for me.
Yeah.
And we were coming up with some other ones, Coastal Coffee Shop. And then I started noticing everything around here is coastal.
Right.
So I was like, so we came up with a few names. And finally, we both just felt happy when we said Sundial Coffee and Tea. So that's
awesome.
Throwback to the original days.
That's really cool. Kind of how brings it all together at the end of it. So my full-time job, I'm a financial advisor. So I'm glad you talked on one aspect. So there's really three, but like two main things that I work with people that have the money to start investing it is one, the empty nester phase, and two, the retirement phase. And they talk about how, or at least what my clients always talk about, how such a huge difference it makes in their lives, just going from kids being in the house all the time and always something to do, bring them one place to another, to suddenly quiet.
Right.
And how was that transition for you right away?
I was really nervous going into it. I felt because we homeschooled, I pulled my daughter up to seventh grade when my son was in seventh grade.
Right.
So from seventh through 12th grade, I homeschooled them as one. Like they were the classroom. And so I knew that when they graduated, it was just going to tear the Band-Aid off. Like they were, you know, Sam enlisted and Abby was, you know, applying to college. Mm-hmm. So super anxious about it, super had bad days, had good days, just didn't know how to feel about it.
Yeah.
But honestly, once it happened, I'm just so proud of them that the joy that it gave me to see them fulfilling what they had always wanted to do in life, seeing them go after the things that because I was able to spend so much time with them, I knew them intimately.
Right.
I knew the things that they needed to do to be happy and to thrive in life. And they were both like moving in those directions. So that was an exciting time. As scary as it was for me personally, the joy that it brought me watching them become adults and do the things that they love to do. It kind of was a really sweet, sweet time. And then obviously the coffee shop took off and it just consumed my time. So we call this my coffee shop baby.
Right. Makes sense.
So yeah. So then, you know, I was so busy here. So now they give me a hard time for not answering the phone when they call. And I'm like, right. I'm so sorry. You know, where before, like, you know, I was 100% there. Yeah. So yeah.
So what some people may know if they joined the Build Your Community Summit is you were actually one of the guests for the Build Your Community Summit we did for the Cargo District Studios.
Yeah.
And the reason why we brought you on is because we met you through Brittany. And it's clear to both of us who've been in here just today already, you have built one heck of a community around.
Thank you.
So how were you able to build that in such a strong community that you have here?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
I think when I really reflect on it is that the relationships with customers who are now friends was really my priority. As much as I love coffee, it was never about the coffee. I know there's a coffee shop downtown Wilmington called Vigilant Hope, and they actually have that written on the side of their building. It was never about the coffee.
Yep.
And when I see that, it just makes me so happy because I kind of feel the same way here that, you know, I was looking for my own place to connect with people and to not be alone and to be able to talk about, you know, whatever was going on in my life. And the coffee shop brought that to me. And so then I was able to start giving it back to customers. And so I really feel like the difference here is that when people come in, they know that we're excited to see them, that we care about them. We want to hear how they're doing. You know, Brittany and I, we became friends. Brittany Lineberry was just here helping us get set up this morning. She's a great friend of mine now. And the reason is the coffee shop. She came in as a realtor to do business. You know, then she'd hang out with her other realtor friends and work in the afternoon and socialize. And now, you know, her new little baby is one of my favorite people.
She's so adorable,
Morgan. So I really feel like just getting to know people is something that is something I can't be surface. I can't just, you know, say hey and send you on your way. So I think that's what has made the difference is people know when they come in here that they're cared for and that they can be real and we have time to chat.
That's a good thing that you point out. It's like a lot of people are used to, you know, going to the super corporate coffee shops and you're like, you walk into Starbucks and unless you order every single day, they really don't ask you a question. And usually you're ordering mobile. But here it gives you that intimacy where it's like, hey, you know, come in, sit down. You want to hang out. And I love the color palette.
Thank you.
Because I'm like me and Tyler joke about this all the time. I'm the color person in the group. And I'm like, I love the warm tones that's in here. Like it feels very sundialish. Like it's very inviting. Whereas like you go into like the corporate shops and it's dark colors, dark wood, dark seats. And I was like, yeah, they don't want you to stay here. Like this spot is very inviting.
Good. It feels like you want to stay.
Yes.
That's exactly what I hope for. So
we were talking to the Ibis downtown. Yep. That's coffee in the morning, then cocktail bar at night. And they were talking about doing the same type of thing, too, is like wanting people to stay and hang out. And that's the way that, honestly, Starbucks started. And then now they've been slowly like, how can we change the chairs to make them more uncomfortable that you're not sitting around as often? And they're trying to make it more just a commodity, come in and out. And they've even talked about reducing the inside of their footprint so people can come in and get their stuff quicker so they move out. Exactly. All transactional. So when there's people like you that actually say, hey, you know what? I enjoy the community coming in. I want them to come in and hang out. It's such a nice like breath of fresh air to have someone be like, no, come be here. Come hang out with us. So I love what you're doing up here.
Thank you.
I think it's well needed for Surf City too.
Yes, I needed it. And I'm glad the city needed it because we're all hanging out together for
right.
sure. Yeah.
And something that we haven't brought up on the podcast yet. So the week prior to this one coming out, we would have had on, I think, you know, Heather Allen.
Yes.
Yeah, so we had her on when these episodes come out the week before yours.
Okay.
So we decided, hey, you know what? Since she lives up here, we plan on coming up here, we're going to have a whole entire Surf City and Topsail month.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so the all whole right. month of April is going to be all about Surf City and Topsail.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots up here. Like, now that I'm so involved with the community and I've got to know a lot of the business owners around me.
Right.
I mean, everything I need is here.
Yeah.
I don't need to leave Surf City often.
I didn't realize that. So like I'm from Wilmington and I have friends who were up here in like Topsail Beach and Surf City growing up. And every time I come up this way, there's something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just growing to do what it's supposed to and build a true community. Like this shopping center that you're part of, I remember when it was just the other side. Like
right.
It was just the brewery and like some food. And
exactly.
Now you have this whole section. I think the last time I met Brittany was up here and they were building this side.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, gosh, I can't believe it was two years ago.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking about that too. Yeah. I was driving up. It was like, turn here. And I was like, there's nothing over there. And then I passed it and I was like, oh, there's a lot over there now.
Yes.
I was like, okay,
great.
I was wrong.
Well, I hope you have time to just take a stroll up the sidewalk and see all the small businesses. I mean, it's amazing what just in this little Triton Village, what we've got going on over here. Super happy.
And just kind of talking about bringing it all together. I know you have some paintings behind you and then other artwork throughout the building and stuff as well. Do you want to touch on kind of what you bring in here and why you do it?
Absolutely. So at the old shop, because I just, you know, was trying to get to know everybody, every month I would have a new artist. So we'd put their art up on this large wall that we had every month. And then at the end of the month, we'd tear it down and a new art vendor could go up.
Right.
And so we did that every month and it was great. I loved being able to meet all the new artists, but it did become it was time consuming.
It's a lot,
and paying it, you know, just it got complicated. And so when we came here, I really wanted to simplify and I really wanted like a vibe or an aesthetic that I felt really matched what I was hoping to bring here.
Yep.
So Brittany Lineberry, who we mentioned earlier, was exactly what I wanted this feeling to be. So if you're in the front of my coffee shop, all the artwork that's around the walls is Brittany Lineberry's photography, mostly of Topsail Island.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few from Bald Head and some other islands around, but most of it is all Surf City, Topsail Island,
oh, wow.
Marshland and beaches and piers and just, you know, just the beauty that Surf City has.
Yes.
I think she's captured it beautifully. So if you're up front, all of that artwork is Brittany's. But then I also wanted this to be super family friendly, where parents with little kids didn't have to feel like, oh, we can't touch anything. You know, everything is just so aesthetically pleasing. So Vinny Adonacio is also one of our most regular customers way back from originally in Holly Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
He's been coming and hanging out with us and getting Americanos every single time. but anyway, he's a great guy. And he does these original acrylic and oil paintings. And he does big, bold paintings. And I just have always loved his work. So I knew I wanted Brittany for the, you know, the entrance and the big picture, but I asked Vinny for like our, you know, meeting room. And then we also have a family room around the corner behind where we're sitting, where there's a sofa and a game table and some blocks for kids and books. So I wanted some of his big, bold paintings to kind of make that room feel even more warm and friendly. So, yeah, so we have a Harrington cow over there and a big pelican painting. And then in this room, obviously, you have this gorgeous sea turtle. And then a beach scene over here. So that's Vinny's work. And I just really feel like the two together, even though they're so different from each other, they both bring like the same kind of feeling that I wanted for our space.
Yeah, no, I think that's great too, because like you said, it does kind of bring everything together, but they're all so very different that it's not really like competing necessarily against each other.
Right. Yep. 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 Yep.
So thinking about like just bringing everything together, and you have like a space back here for families and friends. Did you come up like my thought process, when you were leasing this space out, were you thinking of like, hey, you know, if someone wants to homeschool and they want to bring their kids here for a little bit and we have some space for like the sit around playing your computer, like when you were designing this space, like what were you thinking?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. And I do not have any kind of architecture background. So I literally taped 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper together to make this very long, narrow, empty space that we had.
Okay.
And then I kind of drew where I thought the coffee bar needed to be for flow. And then after that, I noticed I had this even more narrow, long space. So I'm like, well, what if we chop it up into sections? And I know that's kind of like not the thing these days. Everything should be open and airy. But I felt like that took away a little bit from like possibly cozy, which is what I wanted people to feel like they had their own space here.
Yeah.
So the main space in the front is big and open and airy, and I love that. But in that space, we also built an L-shaped business bar that faces the wall. So if somebody needed to come in and get some work done, they could literally put their earbuds in. They're facing the wall, so they're not distracted by the people behind them. And they can like crank out some work up on that business bar out in the main room.
Okay.
And then in the center, I have the room that we're sitting in today. Mm-hmm. It's just a small conference room with a long, you know, conference table. There's a smart TV here if somebody needed to cast a presentation, a whiteboard for, you know, whatever you need to doodle. And then we could set up a coffee bar in here if people really needed to just sit down, not come out and get business done. But also, mostly, we have a lot of families that do come in homeschool in this space. So there's little kids in here, you know, doing their work. We have a group that's wanting to know if they can start meeting here regularly. So I'm excited about the possibility of that. So it'd be one tutor with like three or four homeschool kids getting some work done once a week here at the coffee shop. So that's what this space is for. And then finally, like I said, the family room. Just very like the kids can play on the floor and pull the blocks out. The other thing that we were fortunate enough to be able to add is a very small bakery. We have limited space, but we make it work. So we've pretty much got inventory going up. So we carry ladders around. But so we have a nice little bakery back there. And so I have a bakery manager now that she pretty much makes everything in-house from blueberry lemon loaf, orange cranberry muffins. She's making these humongous Rice Krispie treats and cake pops. But all of those things are made fresh right here in our location. So it's
we're going to have to try some of those after this.
Yes.
Now.
It's very yummy.
It's like, now I'm hungry.
Now I want to ask. I'm like, everywhere I go, like blueberry and lemon is always like,
it is a winner every time.
And I'm like, but what coffee does that go well with?
Well, I'll tell you, it goes with whatever coffee you like.
Right.
Like, personally, when I eat a sweet treat, I like to have a black Americano.
Yeah. Okay.
And I like a strong black Americano. So yummy. I like that just kind of heavy, smoky, almost tobacco flavor that a nice dark Americano has. But honestly, people get the coffee they want and grab any treat that they want. So, yeah. There's no defining that.
I recently started getting into Americanos as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm in love with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is probably not the right thing to do, especially for a good Americano. But in the afternoons around like 2 o'clock-ish, probably later than I should have an Americano anyway. But I'll also take my protein powder and put it in there.
Okay. Well, like you got to get Americano. Protein and a coffee at the same time.
I'll do an iced Americano and put it in there and shake it up. And
okay.
Yeah. So that way I get my protein and a little bit of a pick-me-up before I go work out.
Absolutely. Good. Yeah. No, I do. I used to be a big drip girl. Like even with the first couple of years into the coffee shop, I liked Americanos. But if I was going to have espresso, I wanted it like an afternoon sweet treat, kind of like what you're talking about. So in the morning, I was always like, I just like our house. You know, I like our drip.
Yep.
And then everybody kind of made fun of me about that. They're like, you own the coffee shop, but you only drink the drip. I'm like, no, I drink it all, but I prefer the drip. But now, in the past year or so, I've just been straight Americanos.
And you probably have a better way of describing this, but what's the main difference between like a black drip coffee and an Americano when it comes to taste and profile?
That's such a good question. So a lot of people... couple things that I like about the difference is with drip coffee, you brew, you know, 100 ounces drip, you know, through a filter, it drips down into the pot and that's it. So, and then that will sit for, you know, 2 hours maybe.
Right.
But with an Americano, every single time you go to a coffee shop and order an Americano, they should be pulling it the minute you order it. Yeah. So you always get a fresh cup of coffee that's just been brewed for you. So especially if you're a decaf drinker, you don't know how long decaf's been sitting around because not many people order it. And so I would say if you're going to order decaf, always order a decaf Americano. We do have decaf espresso beans here. Not all coffee shops do. But I know Bespoke downtown is like death by decaf, which I think is hilarious. But I do care about decaf drinkers as well. So we do offer decaf. But what I like about it is, to me, the taste difference is the espresso almost is a more intense coffee taste.
Right.
And also just the way that the shot is pulled, if it's pulled a little longer, a little shorter, can change the acidity and the bitterness. And the, even sometimes if it's not pulled well, it can be sour. So I think as my palate has started to understand coffee better, I think that's why I have moved over to Americano, because I can like figure out what I do and don't like about this cup of coffee.
Yeah. There's a place that I go for my 2 o'clock coffee. Mm-hmm. It's like I take like 8 steps and I'm there from my office in Wilmington. And I noticed when I would go at 2 o'clock, most people aren't ordering coffee anymore. So they were making a whole brand new thing of drip coffee. Right. And I know the owner really well. And I was like, I feel horrible about this. Like, what else can I do? And she was like, I'm fine doing it. And I'm like, I appreciate that. But what else can I do? And she was like, Americano is about the same. And then it's also much quicker too, as opposed to brew a whole nother thing
waiting
of coffee.
Waiting for a whole fresh pot. Exactly.
Yeah. And I was like, this tastes better. It's better for you, better for me. I'm like, let's do this.
Great. No, that's fantastic. And that's what, so we don't offer decaf drip coffee. So when people come in, I'm like, I'm so sorry, we don't offer decaf drip. And then I have to explain what Americano is.
Right.
And once I do that, they're like, oh. And then most people like yourself, once they taste it, they're like, oh, actually, I think I'm going to switch
better.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's very similar to like people who drink whiskey. Like you start drinking like Jack Daniels or like Jim Beam, like something classic. But as you start learning the just drinking and learning flavors, and someone's like, oh, try this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you taste like the peatiness from the scotch? Can you taste like the mineralness from like this one that came out of like Maker's Mark or the composite? I was like, oh. So that does explain why a lot of people who drink whiskey really also have a coffee preference.
A coffee preference. And, you know, it's so interesting because it really starts, you start realizing it in a lot of different things. Like I've started, like whenever I eat nuts in the afternoon, I'm like, ooh, what is the difference between an almond and a walnut?
Right.
You know, like I'm like, so starting to taste profiles in all kinds of different things, or even trying to describe not just what I like better than the other, but what I taste differently in one than the other. So, and that, like I said, you know, homeschooling my children, we didn't do a lot of those kinds of things. We were learning about how to cook, not necessarily about all the different tastes and everything. So it's not been until I've kind of gone on this coffee shop journey that I've started understanding the value of being able to taste things. So speaking of whiskey, I will give a little, caveat to that. One of the great things about having adult children is they bring home really great gifts.
Right.
So my husband's birthday was Wednesday. And he really enjoys whiskey. His favorite is Hidden Ships down here.
So
it's a local
We're going
distillery.
There next, by the way.
Yes. Cannot wait for you to try it. But anyway, he loves Hidden Ships. So typically we'll have that, but he loves to try different things. So my son, for his birthday on Wednesday, brought him home a bottle of whiskey he'd never had before called Rabbit Hole.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys had that?
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Which kind did he get?
I don't know.
Was it a green label?
I think it was maroon. Red.
Was it like a maroonish?
Maybe maroon.
So that's the sherry cask. That's my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
It definitely was not green. So yeah, so he brought home Rabbit Hole. And so, you know, I'm not a big whiskey drinker, but whenever they're talking about it and tasting it, I can't be left out.
Right.
So, oh my goodness. Like it is really yummy, vanilla-y. Like the smell of it was fantastic. So anyway, so we just tried that new whiskey this week at our house.
Rabbit Hole's fantastic. That was a very, very good pick. Yeah, especially anything that was rested in a sherry cask is going to be one of my favorites.
Okay.
Along with rye too, but sherry cask is always good, especially for, like you say, you're not much of a whiskey drinker, but something with in a sherry cask is always going to taste a little bit sweeter.
Okay, that must have been what I found so yummy about it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's really yummy.
Clues when it goes to buying whiskey, green labels typically are going to be rye.
Okay.
So spicy.
Yeah. So a spicier taste. And then typically like a red or a maroon label is going to be like sherry cask.
Gotcha.
And then they have like different colors for everything else. Like I saw one, I was at the shop, I was at Rounds and they had Basil Hayden and it was in like technically it was a bluish gray and it was one of their like special releases.
Oh, okay.
So like if you see something outside of like a normal like brown, red, green, it's typically like a special release.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Fun facts about whiskey we've learned over the years.
Exactly.
So what's something since you started in the coffee industry, kind of like what we said about the whiskey side, that you've been like, oh, this is really neat. I wish I would have known this earlier, or this is something I want everyone to know about coffee.
I guess one thing that a lot of people is that espresso is not the bean. There's not an espresso bean. Even though we sell bags of coffee that say espresso on it, it's really just coffee. It just might be a specific way it was roasted that they feel would present well in a cup of espresso. But espresso is the only thing that makes espresso is the process of pulling the hot water through those grounds really fast through the portafilter.
Mm.
So that's what makes it espresso. So before it's espresso or cold brew or latte or drip, it's all just coffee. It's just it's a coffee fruit. The seed has been taken out of it. It's been through the coffee process and then roasted. And so then obviously, you know, you can have a light roast all the way down to a dark roast. The other interesting thing that I didn't know before I came into coffee is that dark roasts are actually lower in caffeine than right. light roasts. So a lot of people, when I say, oh, well, we offer a dark roast, they'll say, oh, that's probably too caffeinated. I'm like, actually, it's not. The other way around. So just it was just fun to learn just the process that it takes to make coffee. Every single bean is just it's just so much so labor intensive to make to process coffee from fruit to, you know, my hopper over there. So it's a really special thing. And learning about it's been really fun.
I'll make sure I tell my doctor I am getting my full serving of fruit then.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I do want to give a quick shout out to Friends Coffee Roaster. So I just mentioned dark roast. So Friends Coffee Roasting is just two sisters who one of them, Tacy, lives in Sneed's Ferry.
Okay.
So she's a regular here at our coffee shop and she roasts her own coffee for this business and they sell their bags locally at, you know, craft markets and at a few small souvenir shops and things.
Oh, wow, okay.
But we love her dark roast. It's Bali. It's organic. It's, you know, this super amazing process. And so she's actually been over there to the fields where the coffee's grown.
Oh, wow.
And so if you come to Sundial and we offer you a dark roast, it will be Friends Coffee Roasters dark roast.
Oh,
so our medium house roast and our espresso and our cold brew, all of that, like I said, comes from New York.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have one special pot of Friends dark roast brewed at all times for people to try Tacy's. And then we sell her bags in retail here as well.
Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says a lot about their coffee, too, then, and to be like, hey, you know what? We'll make this a special purchase.
Yeah. Yep. So
that's cool.
Fantastic.
So my question for like future thoughts.
Yes.
Would you look at opening another Sundial or would you push into the roasting?
I would love to push into the roasting. I would absolutely love that. I just know that that's probably a few years down the road. Yeah. Like that's huge startup. So we need Sundial to do really well. Keep buying coffee because someday I would love to roast. Well, I will tell you that we did recently open a second location.
Oh.
Yeah. So down in Hampstead, if you guys know where Ironclad Golf Course is.
Yeah.
Okay. So the guys that own Shaka Taco actually bought that golf course a few years ago, built a Shaka Taco right on the grounds of the
right.
golf course. And then they have a beer garden as well with a huge backyard, cornhole, all kinds of family fun activities you can do out there. Well, we talked with them last summer and talked about the idea of adding a coffee shop to the beer garden because the beer garden's only open from 12 to 9 p.m.
Right.
And so it's empty all morning. And so I was like, well, could we like fit a coffee bar in here? Like I can get a compact espresso machine.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I can do with little storage. Like I can go vertical.
Yeah.
So they let us upfit the beer garden in order to accommodate the coffee shop. And so now we built a deck on the side of the beer garden that faces the parking lot. So you can literally pull up, order at the window, sit at the deck. If you have little kids, you can go around to the beer garden side and hang out for the morning. So we're there every single day from 7 to 12.
Oh, wow.
So that just opened in December. And we were really fortunate. My husband was actually able to quit his job finally. And he's now the full-time manager down there.
Oh, that's awesome.
As well as doing all the other supply runs and banking and all the other things that he does that I'm so thankful for. So yeah, so he's there every single day.
That's really neat. When I found that out today that you had a second location because I put in my GPS like, all right, which way do I need to come from Leland? And then it said Sundial because the closest one clearly to me at Leland was Hampstead. And I was like, that is not the one I'm going to. And I was like, I'm going to have to ask you about that.
Yeah, my husband would have sent you on down here.
Yeah.
I wish he could have been with us today, but.
Right, yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
I was
hard work to do.
Yeah, he's hard at work. Yeah, slinging coffee.
Yes.
He's not like swinging a golf club?
No, he's not. he does. Now, he and my son have gone a few times over to Ironclad to play in the afternoons, and they love playing golf down
That's
there.
Awesome.
It's nice just to have a local course. It's fun to play, and they're always doing upgrades to it. So.
Oh, yeah.
I love that you're... So, going way, way, way back, how did you guys end up here?
So my husband, we got married young, like
yes.
I said, 21 and 23. And so he was just out of college, actually crazy and just quit college to marry him because, I mean, I didn't love college anyway.
Very understandable. Yeah.
However, so we moved to Kansas City. Basically, he was just looking for a job, you know, wherever he could get a job. So he found a job in Kansas City. So we moved there from Indiana when we were 21 and 23 and lived there for a few years. He was in sales out there. So then found a new job with sales in Roanoke, Virginia. So we actually lived in Roanoke for 12 years. That's where we had our kids and bought our first house and lived there until 2011. And he actually got a promotion and a new position here with a pharmaceutical company that he was working for. And then about 6 years ago, that pharmaceutical company reallocated a lot of their employees, and mm-hmm. he was one of them. Reallocated means that he just didn't have a position anymore. So he actually
That was a nice way of, corporate way of putting
it. Yeah, we're reallocating you, but nowhere to allocate you.
Right.
So, yeah. So he actually became the missions pastor at our church, which missions is really a big deal to him and to me as well. We've been on several missions trips mm-hmm. to just to places in the world that need care. They don't have all these things that we have. And so we've been really blessed to get to do that. So that was a dream come true. So he did that for 5 years and is now, obviously, he is now, you know, working full time at Sundial, but he's also a missionary with an organization called Answering the Call.
Oh, okay.
And the nice thing about working for Sundial is he is his own boss, so he can go whenever he wants to now. Right. So he has a trip coming up to Ghana, Africa next month. He's going to go to Ukraine later in the year and just go to places where he can bring supplies and care and love and just see what's needed out there.
But next question, because being your own boss and kind of being able to do trips and do missions around the world, how do you find good employees and keep them? Like, retention, I hear, is ridiculous nowadays.
Yeah. And I'm so blessed that I don't have that problem. I genuinely care about the guys and gals that work here. My manager is one of my very best friends. We actually homeschooled our kids in the same co-op.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When we were chucking it all the way down to Monkey Junction from Surf City Tuesday. So we were in that same co-op together. Her kids and my kids are the same age. So once her kids graduated, she joined me. So she's now the manager of the Surf City location. Mm. So we're just dear friends. So we just know each other. And I really, the girls that I have here now, and I do have one young man, they've all been here at least a year or longer. And I just know them. Like, I spend time with them. I tell them I'm going to get in their business. I want to know how their life's going.
Right.
I want them to tell me when things aren't going well here, you know, mm-hmm. so there's no resentment to build up.
Right.
So yeah, we just chat a lot and get to know each other. Nice. Maybe I'm more nosy than I need to be, but.
Seems to be working.
It's one of those things, like I said, small businesses are having a hard time, like, getting people. And I know just big business in general, because we have a lot of people listening to podcasts, are just having issues retaining people. So I think that's a good thing. It's like, hey, you know, talk to your associates, your employees, mm-hmm. like, become friends and mm-hmm. just talk to them like a real person.
Exactly. Find out what they need. Do the best to give it to them if they need it. You know, reward them when they're doing a great job. Sometimes it's even just a shout out. We have a Teams chat on my Microsoft mm-hmm. Teams, mm-hmm. and one of them is called the Sundial Superstars. I know, super cheesy, but in that specific chat thread, we just shout each other out. So, like, the other day, Abraham, you know, gave a huge shout out to two of the girls because Monday morning was crazy in here. It was absolutely, they just called it a silly Monday morning. It was just lots of borders, lots of big orders. So the girls were just slamming drinks and everybody was having fun and they were blasting Taylor Swift and singing while they were doing it. And so they didn't allow the number of drinks that were needing to be made and the number of customers waiting in line. They didn't allow that to ruin their day or to get snappy or stress people out. So Abraham gave them a big shout out in our Teams chat just to say, hey, these girls killed it on this crazy Monday that none of us expected.
Right.
I think it was President's Day, maybe. Did we have a Monday where kids were off school for something recently?
Like, this past Monday or like a while ago?
I don't know. So it was like yesterday. I never know
what week it is. Yeah.
President's Day was a couple weeks ago.
Or else maybe it was a spring break day. I don't know. But anyway,
that would make
it was
sense,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, spring break probably was last week. That would make more
sense. That probably was what it was.
I'll take Chris's question that he was probably going to ask you.
What were you going to ask, Chris?
Chris was going to ask you, with everything you have going on right now, what does success look like to you?
Oh, what does success look like to me? I mean, honestly, just to have a day where people are connecting, where I get to come in and, like, already this morning while we were setting up, like, I got to connect with two of my most regular customers, see how they're doing and, got to share some important things going on in their lives and got to encourage a little bit and be encouraged. So honestly, this is just being in community, being a part of people that care about me and that I care about them is, like, there's not much more I could ask for.
That's great.
Then I'll take Tyler's question. Okay. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be? Whether it be good, whether it be bad, like what you got?
Honestly, do not think that you know how your life is going to go. You know, like, honestly, I had planned to be a public school teacher. I did finish college. My husband insisted that I finish college before we have children. So I reluctantly did and then became pregnant while I was student teaching. So yay. So my plan was to be a public school teacher and was excited to send my kids to school. And I did. I sent them to school. They got on that bus. And then I started working at a preschool while I was getting my license up to date. And within a year was like, this isn't working. Like, I don't enjoy sending my kids out the door. I don't enjoy going and spending time. I did love other people's children. I love children. Children are my life, but I was missing my own. And I was like, why am I spending time with other children, but not my own children? So that was a big U-turn. I went from public school to homeschool within a year and enjoyed that immensely. And then, like I said, like the coffee shop business, I never, ever would have thought that I would own my own business. That was never a plan of mine. Never thought that it could happen. And it just did. And so I think just being willing to pivot year to year with where your life's going and being okay with not knowing the next steps. You know, we have young children, young adults. And same thing, you know, they're already starting to think about, you know, what's going to be next and what's going to happen. And we just keep saying, you know what? You don't know what's next and we don't know what's next, and just be ready for whatever is coming and be excited about what might come instead of being worried about what's not going to come. Looking forward to the unknown, which a lot of times we get ourselves beat up about not knowing what's next. I'm like, no, be excited about what's next. Yeah. You don't have to know.
So how can people reach out to you and come see both of your locations? Where can they go for all of that?
Okay. Well, we have a website, sundialcoffeeandtea.com. So you can go there. We have our whole menu on there. We have all of the different nonprofits that we support throughout the year are listed on there, and you can click links to see those. So we try to support the Sea Turtle Hospital, which is right behind us. Share the Table is a food pantry for our neighbors in need here locally. We support Safe Haven, which is a domestic violence shelter out in Burgaw. So you can go and see all the different places that our specific coffee shop supports. You can also reserve a coffee bar if you wanted to have a, you know, set up something for, you know, baby shower or anything like that. You can reserve the conference room that we're in today you need to come in and do some work or homeschool. So our website's probably the best to kind of get an idea of who we are and what we're about. But just come in, really. That's what I'd really like people to do. Come in, have a cup of coffee, sit down. Love to meet you.
Awesome.
Love it. So I'm very thankful you've let us come in and hang out today. It was a blast.
No, I loved it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic.
So fun. So for all those who know, we do have a YouTube channel now.
Okay.
So you'll be up there.
Oh, okay. Cool. So
if you want to drop a cute little picture of your sundial mug, we'll put it on.
Okay.
Right.
Mix it up for Tyler. Make him do more work.
Yeah.
I'm sure Brittany has a great picture.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But yeah, thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah.
Like, comment, share, subscribe. Hit us up on either YouTube. As per usual, we've been on Spotify and Apple Music. And definitely come out here and check out this amazing venue. Whether you need to book the space and do a little, you know, conference, or just for some great coffee on your way to the beach. But we'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.